Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, you gotta fight for your right.
And now, from the IMLD home studios, in its 11th season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Ray.
All right. I know there's a lot of excitement going around the NFL because a certain pop star showed up at somebody's game, and that's all everybody seems to be talking about. But, hey, it's Saturday night. It's time for the football party, so that means we're here.
I'm talking to America here.
We are talking to America, and that's all that should matter. We're here to give you the best picks out there, at least the best picks you can find amongst two guys who are under 500 for the season. Welcome to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Here with you live on a Saturday night, September the 30th, 2023. I'm Dre. He's Jay. Yeah, we're both still under 500. I was able to go 500 last week after Jay went 500 the week before. Actually, I went 500 the week before as well. So I'm still, I was still fighting back from the first week, and I was able to get back over Jay for the time being. So I'm a game up for the season now on Jay, but we're both still underwater. We're both fighting it. It's been a crazy year. It's been a lot of upsets. There's been a lot of really, really razor thin close picks that maybe some referee shenanigans may have swayed one way or another. It's been crazy. No excuses, but it has been a very unusual season. Jay, I'm sure you of all people was probably the most sick all week of all the talk about a certain pop star, considering how overrated you thought she was for the past decade now.
Don't worry. We'll talk about that. we cover everything. We find it all, and it all finds us. So I've got plenty of things to discuss as we hand out the hardware for last week. The week overall, I don't know. Man, we're 3 weeks in. This can't go this way all year. This has just been absolutely wild the way the games are going, the results, what's happening in the games. There's so much. Obviously, we have so much to break down every week anyways, but there's just so much bad. You know, it's like we could have a best of the week and then do like six worst of the weeks. Every week, it's getting harder and harder to give out these awards, and the ones that it's getting harder and harder to give out are the good ones.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't want to bitch and moan about it, but yeah, I feel the same way that you do. I knew of all the bad categories, the worst, and the strugglings and the letdowns. I knew I was going to have my list and the what the fucks. I knew I was going to have a list of things to choose and just decide what to slot in where, but then the best and the smartest and the surprise is like, I'm going to have to really look hard and search for some of these here. It's weird because the really, really terrible bad play seems to be overshadowing the good play. And the good play in at least one case is historic. Like we haven't seen anything like this, that ever really.
And I mean, I don't know, are you segueing into your best of the week here?
I am. I don't know how it could be anything else.
I don't have that as my best of the week, actually.
Okay.
Because, and I know you have to cover it, so you'll throw down all the numbers, the insane yardage, the 10 touchdowns, all of that.
Yeah.
But does it count when you're doing it against a team that you are actually watching in quit mode? I mean,
they definitely quit.
They quit. They
weren't
interested. Right. So I'll give you the floor for this one, because I've got the other side of this game later in the awards. Because, you know, sometimes you got to highlight the best, and the only way you can have the best is if you have something bad. So I'll let you talk about the good half of this game, which was very good.
All right. That's our football party for any new listeners. Got 2 hours of hot football talk from two very tired people, because I just came back from the Memphis Tigers football game, and it was hot and long and wild, and I'm barely just coming down from all of that to do this podcast. So we'll see how long I can go before I become completely incoherent, even more than I normally am. But our first hour, we'll be looking back on week three, giving out our awards, the best and the worst and the smartest and the dumbest and everything in between. And then the second hour, we'll give you what we think about week four. We'll give you our picks, and then we'll sit there tomorrow and watch our pick look very smart for 59 minutes, and then some referee decides that there's pass interference where there isn't any or something like that, and winds up switching the whole pick.
Or you'll have a team cover 1.5-point spread and lose.
Or a team will find a way to call a timeout and make sure they can cover the spread even though they can't win the game. Sean McVay. I wonder if you feel the way about him the way that I feel about Nathan Perez, because I think it's not quite the same evil,
you know what?
But it's
you had money on that.
Yeah.
So that's... I think you get more hate for that than I do for just losing a pick and a lock, by the way, but
right.
At least I didn't have money on it, man.
Right.
I
was just about to say, thankfully gambling isn't legal yet up in your neck of the woods, or else it would have also possibly cost you real.
Even though I had that as my lock of the week, I actually don't anticipate that I would have had money on that game, but who knows? We'll never know.
Right. I wish I had money on my lock, but nope, not bright enough to do that. Actually,
you know, we were talking about this at my job because Wisconsin's one of the states that doesn't allow, you know, sports books. And there's only one sports, but there's two sports books that I know of in the state. There's one in Green Bay, I believe, and then there's one in Milwaukee at the Indian Casino. So I think it's because Indian gaming is so big in the state of Wisconsin. I think, and because they've started allowing it now at some of those casinos, that's why we probably don't have the statewide online legalized sports books, because of the heavy influence. Now, I could be completely wrong. Somebody write us or call us or tell us if I'm wrong, but that's just my suspicion, is it's just because of the high volume that we have of Indian casinos and reservation gambling in the state of Wisconsin, because it's everywhere in this state.
Oh, yeah, I'm aware of it from my brief time up there.
Pottawatomie has a sports book, and so does Oneida in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. So you may be onto something there. You certainly know a lot more about it up there than I would. It's everywhere. It feels like it's just about in every state. It feels like it's going to be in every state eventually.
I hope so.
But it's not there yet in Wisconsin. So it's here in Tennessee. I want to be perfectly clear with that. It's not that I was not smart enough to bet my lock. Is that with the two Monday night games, I couldn't resist. I had my lock tied up in a parlay with the other game, and the other game is what fucked me, and that's why I didn't win money on Monday night. I had Philly all the way with the points straight up every way you could think. I just kept tying them up in parlays with the Rams, because
Rams.
Since he's got a hurt quarterback, there's no way they're going to beat the Rams. Okay.
And then they basically got a 3-point win on a 2.5-point spread.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Of course.
That's
they knew.
How it goes.
They knew you bet it.
Hey, I need to shut up about that. I had quite a bit on the Tigers today, and they were losing 17-0 and found a way to come back and win that game. So
I thought you were talking about the Detroit Tigers for a second. I was like, whoa.
See,
the Memphis Tigers
football.
They
won. Yes, they did. They were losing big time, but they found a way to pull it out. So,
okay.
Yay, Tigers.
Hey, and you're not like the NFL with all these new crackdown rules on gambling. You're allowed to gamble on the games that you go to, even though you're there scoring the game.
Hey, there's no rules against it. Guido has no problem with it. So, you know, it's all good as far as he's concerned. So no problem with that. All right. The best and worst of week three.
Who do you think you are? I am.
I mean, it's 70 points. It's, oh, my God. Yes, I know the other team has to play a part in that, but it's still, we don't see that in the NFL. This is like Little Sisters of the Poor. This is like a high school game. This was 70 points, Miami Dolphins, obviously, over the Denver Broncos. Only behind the Potato Skins, 72 points in 1966. That's the only game in the history of NFL football that had more points for one team than the 70 that the Dolphins put up on Sunday. 700, I don't have all the numbers, but I do have some of them. 726 total yards. 726 total yards. They got the 500 total yards and said, we got 200 more to go on your ass. We ain't through by a long shot, not by a sight. The only team that trailed, 735 by the Rams. Boy, the greatest show on turf, that crazy Rams offense. I rechecked my notes. It wasn't the St. Louis Rams. It was the 1951 Rams had 735 yards. That's the only game in history where one team had more yards than the Dolphins. First time in history that a team throws for 350 yards and runs for 350 yards. Ladies and gentlemen, the Miami Dolphins, they could have kicked a totally meaningless field goal and set the all-time scoring record, but just chose not to. Just chose it. Like, nah, we don't need to do that. We can, but nah, we don't really have. You don't ever see that in the NFL where a team can do more damage and just chooses not to. Like, they actually took mercy on the Denver Broncos. That's how terrible the Denver Broncos was, but it's still the best because that's how great the Miami Dolphins are. We talked about Tua Tagovailoa and how long can he stay upright and what is the season going to look like for the Dolphins and how can anyone truly trust them to go, you know, very, very far when their quarterback is so fragile. Well, obviously the mad scientist Mike McDaniel sat there in the lab over the offseason, worked out what can we do on offense to make our quarterback be that much safer. And, hey, when you get rid of the ball, like as soon as you snap it, you can't get banged up. You can't get if they can't get there to touch you because you're getting rid of it so fast, then that's one way to protect your quarterback. I mean, it seems very simple, but that's pretty much all they're doing is just designing plays to get the ball as fast as possible out of Tua's hands into all these playmakers' hands. And it's beautiful. It is some beautiful fucking football to watch. I understand. Again, you'll cover the Denver Broncos part in it later on. But I'm looking at the best as the Miami Dolphins because that was some absolutely beautiful, poetic football that they put on Sunday.
No, and absolutely. And obviously the 70 is what really sticks out. But
70.
I think against a team that wasn't hashtag full of quit, that's probably 49 or 55. We'll talk about it later because there was some stuff going on in that game that I couldn't believe I saw.
But your best of week four, which wasn't the Miami Dolphins.
Who do you think you are? I am.
We already did this with the Dolphins. I did already 2 weeks ago. I think we already, because when Tua lit up the Chargers and went for, you know, that's the other way to keep Tua upright, right? Play the Chargers and the Broncos, and yeah, we'll see how well he fares against the Bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't this the first team last year in that 145 degree game down in Miami? This was the first time he got juggled off the turf, right?
Yeah, that's when he concussed his back.
Last year, that was against the Bills. So a little bit of a step in class this week to see coming off of that game against the Broncos. But we've already given Miami, and it's only 3 weeks in. And like we said, when we gave it, you know, we gave them the flowers in week one, well, we want to give these out while we can, while Tua's out there, right? So let's just give them as many awards as we can. I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm glad you went first because that was the clear and obvious best of the week. I'm giving my best of the week to two teams, the Houston Texans and the Arizona Cardinals. Because for what we've seen so far out of the, let's say, the Cardinals first, a team that we all expected to be, you know, the tank for Caleb, has not tanked this season, has been extremely competitive, and then in their third week in a row facing the NFC East, goes and just lays it on the Dallas Cowboys, which nobody saw that coming. And then you have Houston, who goes down to Jacksonville. And if you could tell me what's wrong with the Jags right now, man, you know, they only put up a 9 spot against the Chiefs because their receivers can't get their toes down in the end zone. And then you have Houston come in, and if this is supposed to be the get-right spot of all get-right spots, and it's 17-0 at halftime, Houston.
They didn't get right.
And they did not get right. And C.J. Stroud has been extremely efficient. I believe he's yet to throw an interception yet on the season. He's making names out of Tank Dell and Nico Collins and these guys who he's getting the ball to, and Jacksonville, who I was a little bit down on going into the season, saying, hey, this was a team that was, you know, needing a 7-in-a-row loss streak from the Titans last year just for Jags to sneak into the playoffs last year, has come out and kind of looked like the old Jags. And they looked good in week one, but this is now, you can understand losing to the Chiefs, but a good team, a contending team, there's a lot of people talking about the Jags, you know, that up-and-coming team. They needed to take care of business better, and Houston just wouldn't let them. So I give full credit to Houston and Arizona, two teams we don't expect much from. We probably won't talk about them much more in a positive way this year on the show. So again, give flowers while you still can, right? It's only week four. I'm giving my best of the week to the two big upsets, Houston and Arizona.
Yeah, I like that. I like the giving props for best of the week to the Texans and the Cardinals, because by week eight or so, there's no way in hell
right.
We're going to be able to do that.
Well, because we're giving them an award, it probably won't be so good.
No, I'd say it won't be so good. So yeah,
Josh Dobbs, man, guy is clearly fighting for his future. I mean,
they didn't get that
him.
Memo about tanking. The players didn't get that memo, and
no.
We talk about that all the time. Like the organization
right.
wants to tank like hell. The players are like, "Fuck this! This is our career, man. We gonna go out there and ball because that's
yeah.
what we do."
Yeah. I mean, you got Baby Terminator is showing up. Josh Dobbs is showing up. Their defense is making plays, keeping them in games. I mean, we thought that week one, you know, was kind of an aberration when they had that 2016 loss to the team Manderskins in week one. We thought that was going to be, well, okay, the defense gets a pick six or, you know, scoop and squeeze. Okay, they're still really bad. They found a way to lose. And then the next game, they get the gigantic lead against the Giants before the Giants realize, you know, well, wait a minute, I feel better. And they start
yeah.
giving the ball to Saquon Barkley. So we're like, okay, now the tank is in full effect, right? After that, nope, tank is not in full
mm-mm.
effect because they went to Dallas and laid it on them too. So, yeah, that's, to me, much better than piling on a team that quit.
Okay,
I've
good.
Never seen a team. I have very rarely ever seen a team, like you could watch them mid-game, and yeah, they quit. Like I had seen at the Denver Broncos. So, and they're not even my worst of the week, so I will let you.
What? Really?
They're not. They're not. Is there something way worse that I have to talk about?
Oh, dear. Well, in that case, for worst of the week.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What, was that Nate Hackett's fault, too? Hey, John. Did Nate Hackett get 70 put on his ass? I don't think he did. Let me go back and real quick look at the 2023 Denver Broncos. No, they ain't getting almost 70. They did not get 70 on. Sean Payton, you, the great genius Super Bowl champion coach, got 70 hung on your ass. This is the great Sean Payton's return to the NFL. After 3 weeks, It looks terrible. This looks like he's taking his own reputation and Russell Wilson's reputation and flushing it completely down the toilet. I know it's only 3 weeks, but you can't look too much worse than that. And it's on the heels of that really, really, really ill-advised interview he did before the season started, in which he basically said that all of the problems for the Broncos last year was because they had the worst coaching staff you could ever put together. Well, that coaching staff didn't do that. They didn't do that, whatever the fuck that was. I mean, you're talking about getting laid waste to it. I can't believe this isn't your worst, the way you've been burying them since the show started. So I'll bury them. That's the worst of the week to me. The best and the worst. The best is what the Dolphins did in their execution. It wasn't just because the Broncos decided they had enough and laid down. It was because the Dolphins did that to them and made them want to quit. It made them lay down. So they get the best because of what they did. And then the Broncos also get the worst because of what they did in response, which is, as you already said, we're full of quit. Hashtag full of quit. That was so bad. Oh, my God.
This is the funny part. If we would have done this show Thursday or Wednesday, you and I would have been 100% kumbaya. I was fully prepared to go Miami with the 70 burger is best of the week, and then the other side of the ball, because you can't have the 70 burger without what you had on the other side. So I'm glad that you did it, because it kind of let me off the hook, because it was so obvious, and it really was, you know, truly for you. I mean, I get it. But yeah, the Broncos and Sean Payton, that's an absolute clown show. What's going on over there now?
I will bring out the Earl Weaver for Sean Payton.
Go fuck yourself.
You don't do that shit to coaches, man. You just don't do that.
Well,
so,
you
go
know,
ahead, go ahead.
He threw Nathaniel Hackett under the bus. Then you got to back it up, and they haven't backed it up.
Well,
they
he tried to back it up over his
they
body.
They give up 35 to Washington, and then follow that up by giving up 70 to the Dolphins, which means they're going to give up 140 to the Bears.
All right. Go Bears.
So you've got Justin Fields over under 18 total touchdowns tomorrow. Hammer that over.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Bye, Bears.
Bye, Bears.
That's like those ridiculous – it's like those ridiculous prop bets that you see for these sites to get you to entice you to put in some, we'll match your deposit, $100 or $500. All you have to do is bet the over-under on Patrick Mahomes over half a passing yard.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
all you have to do is
I may have
the
taken advantage
on
of one
Justin
or two
Fields,
of those.
18 total touchdowns. You might be clicking on that one going,
yeah. You gotta think about it.
What if one of those... if one of those prop bets had been Devin Achan over
oh my
under.
God. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's
goodness.
Funny because the DFS show that I listened to was talking about Devin Achan, because even though he had darn near 50 fantasy points as a backup, you'd think he'd be all over these winning lineups, right? Wasn't in any of them.
No.
Because the theory that they had, which is why he didn't show up, is if you were dumb enough to put Devin Achan in your lineup, the rest of your lineup probably sucked too.
I can't argue that theory at all. I think that's a very solid
right.
theory.
Yeah, that is a great theory, because then you are that guy who is thinking, you know, so outside the box that you're not just going to stop with him.
Right.
You're going to put in
his receiver is someone
yeah, somebody,
on the Bears.
Yeah, Chase Claypool.
Right.
Because he's cheap.
And he's trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
Right. So that was pretty funny that when they broke it all down, that this guy who had just had the biggest fantasy week of anybody last week showed up in none of the big money winning lineups. Zero of the big money winning lineups.
That is funny. And his teammate could have, too, the other running back.
Well, no, Mostert was in all of the big money.
Oh, there you go.
Like the million-dollar lineup, the $100,000 lineup. Mostert was in all of those.
Yeah.
So if you're on DraftKings and playing for the million, yeah, Mostert was in that lineup.
Okay. Just not Achan.
Just not Achan.
So what was your worst?
the national nightmare that is Taylor Swift.
Of course.
I'm done. This whole thing is so stupid. First of all, it feels so phony and manufactured, right? I mean, the whole thing, it does feel ginned up.
Now I'm done.
It feels fake. It feels manufactured. I'm sick of it already, and I've barely had exposure to it, you know, other than,
oh God,
the ex-Twitter. The ex-Twitter or anything when you click. Well, of course, any media that you click on, YouTube, this or that. So it's everywhere, but the whole I'm already over it, so the way I'm kind of hoping this plays out is I don't even know if this is a real relationship. That's how phony this whole thing seems, you know, more like a PR stunt than an actual, these two people are actually together. If they are actually together, I just want Taylor Swift to become the Yoko Ono of the Kansas City Chiefs so bad.
Aww.
Torpedo this thing. Aww. The best thing I saw all week on the X Twitter was somebody who posted something about Travis Kelce that said, damn, Travis Kelce is scoring sixes on and off the field.
Ooh, ow.
Hey!
And that made my week. That made my week, man. I was like, damn, that's cold, but I like that. That's actually pretty funny.
That's very cold. That's ice cold right there.
That is ice cold, but it was perfect. So credit to whoever said that. I'm not pulling up the tweet, whoever was the originator of that one. But that's well thought out. That's well played. That's something I wish I could have put out there. You know, that's one of those like, man, I could have said that, but I didn't. I liked it. But the whole thing I'm done with. I'm just done with it. That's the worst of the week. You want to talk about a team and players that already don't need more eyeballs on them and stuff, and this is like that. Like, we don't have Brady anymore, so you know what we need? We need Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. No, we don't. It can all away right now.
We don't have Aaron Rodgers for the Sunday night game coming up tomorrow night, so guess what we're going to have? You got it. She's probably going to be in the booth.
Oh.
You'll get to see all of that spectacle on NBC tomorrow. Yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about that whole thing later. But I just knew as soon as I saw all of that going down, I'm like, Jay is absolutely getting tortured because you've said she's the most overrated singer that you've...
I believe that the words talentless hack may have been uttered by me. In regards
overrated,
to
talentless
Swift.
Hack. Yeah, you've had it in for her for quite a long time. So.
Just saying. Apparently she puts on a good show, which I could care less about. I do not consider myself a Swiftie. I don't like really any of her music, but this just takes the intolerance level to a whole new high.
Yeah. No, if
and
someone
and then it's with Travis Kelce, who's one of the most self-aggrandizing players in the league
to
begin with.
He loves him some him. He's like T.O.
Yeah. He's like white T.O.
He really is. So,
perfect. Some pom-poms and Sharpie. Oh, man.
Perfect couple in that respect, actually.
Yoko Ono.
I would not wish that on the Chiefs. I do not want Patrick Mahomes wishing death on Kelce and Taylor Swift because of what he's doing to the team. I do not want that. That's not good for football, man. It might be good for your entertainment, but it would not be good for football.
This is an entertainment show, so yes.
Oh, yeah. Where am I? Smartest of the week. For that, that one wound up taking a different turn. I had one guy lined up for smartest, and then as the game switched in the second half, it wound up switching to a different coach. I had Radio Raheem. I had Raheem Morris set up because he had the Rams defense against Limpy Gimpy Joe Burrow Monday night, and it was going very well in the first half. He was really keeping Burrow hemmed in and making sure that whatever he had downfield, it wasn't much because they were playing very close to the line of scrimmage. They were basically daring him to try to go deep on that bad calf, and he couldn't do it. So. It looked like it wasn't going to go too well, and then they made the adjustments in the second half, and it was very subtle, but they just basically were just taking what the Rams were giving them,
yeah.
and just going underneath, really short stuff, really quick stuff. They knew Burrow couldn't run around. They knew he couldn't escape pressure, so they were just doing it as quickly as they possibly could. They did just enough to get the Bengals in the lead over the Rams. And then Lou Anarumo, the Bengals defensive coordinator, became the smartest coach in week three, because that Cincinnati D, once they got the lead, they got after Matthew Stafford's ass. And they just would not give up. They gave up some plays, but some big plays, but they got an INT right after they gave up a big play, right after they went up 13-9, three straight LA punts right after that, six sacks on the night, big effort to support their quarterback. They, when they really need their defense to come through the most, when they got the lead finally in the second half, that's when the Bengals turned it up and wound up never giving the lead back. And Matthew Stafford tried. He was playing as well as he could, but the Bengals just came after him, and that's on Lou Anarumo dialing it up once they got the lead. So he wound up being the smartest for me for week three.
Yeah, and for the Bengals, it also helps when you realize that we have this guy, Ja'Marr Chase. He's pretty good.
He's not bad, yes.
Yeah, so that usually helps too.
So here's smartest of the week.
Full credit, though, to the Bengals for gutting that out with a gimpy,
I didn't think
Joe Burrow, because we figured against Aaron Donald and that D-line, and it was a low-scoring game, and like you said, the Rams were doing all the right stuff, but, the Bengals are a very good team, and very good teams find a way to win games like that, and they did, so good for them.
Sure did.
And they got that one over us, because we both took the L on that one, and you apparently took more than just an L. You lost some funds.
I did, unfortunately.
My smartest of the week, I'm going off the field, because it's not very often that I have an opinion of something that then I hear somebody make a logical counterpoint to and end up completely changing my opinion that I originally had. And I'm giving this to Richard Sherman. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but Richard Sherman made a very well-thought-out argument about why the Eagles tush-push should be illegal.
Oh, no, I have not heard this.
Yeah, because I'm one of those, like, hey, if you want to line up like that and there's only one team that can do it, then go for it, right?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, it turns out it's illegal on the defensive side of the ball, right? Because
sure.
That has been tried, or on the special team side especially, where they outlawed this, and Sherman made the point very well, that they outlawed that specifically on field goals and extra points, that you couldn't do this big push up the middle, right? Because you couldn't just have this mass of humanity all surging up the middle towards to block the kick. What was the reason that the league outlawed that for those plays? You'll know the answer to this, right? Think hard enough.
Player safety.
Player safety. You're 100% correct. Richard Sherman has completely turned my opinion of the tush push around. That should not be allowed. If the Eagles can't do it, if the Eagles can do it, you can't use the idea of, well, every other team should be able to do it. That's fine in that context, but you can't outlaw it on the other side of the field for player safety, but then allow another. Yeah, I've completely changed my mind 100% on this. Richard Sherman, smartest of the week. Great point, sir. You win.
Okay. All right. I can see the reasoning for you turning your opinion around on that. I guess as unfair as it sounds, my pushback would be there's plenty of things that are okay for the offense and not okay for the defense, because it's an entertainment show at the end of the day, and we want more offense.
Yeah.
So.
But where it really got me was the reason. They outlawed it because they said player safety, but then on the other side, it's okay. Totally safe.
Yeah.
Totally safe when the Eagles do it, or the offense, or another team tries to do it. That's totally safe. But if you try to do that when you want to block an extra point or a field goal, not safe. You're putting those guys' lives in jeopardy. CTE.
Sure.
And I was of the opinion of, hey, man, wow, what the Eagles are doing, that's great. You don't like it. You should go stop it. But he didn't say that that's why it should be stopped. He didn't say it was anything illegal about the formation or it's just not a fair advantage because the Eagles have all these big players. He said, no, no, you told us we can't do it on the other side of the ball because of player safety. I'm like, ah, okay, you got it. You're a smart guy there, Richard Sherman. So I thought that was a great point. And with the player safety, you got to be more consistent. And that's a huge hypocrisy in a league that loves hypocrisy.
And that's why they don't ever have to be more consistent, because they love hypocrisy and they can get away with it.
I get it, but for 1 week, I was swayed on that one.
Okay. All right, that's fair enough. My dumbest of the week.
No!
The Clippers and the Vikings have no idea how to manage games. None one of them. And they play each other to a dumb
your
off,
boy.
Basically.
Is this your boy? Are you going to talk about your boy here? Okay, good, because this is my stupidest of the week, too, so we can – because there's no way that we – how do you not – we should just call this the Brandon Staley Award.
you can name it that if you want for yourself. He reverted back. He certainly reverted back. He had not been doing this the first few games of the year, but he definitely reverted back to his risky – fourth down choices on his own side of the field.
At his own 19-yard line, you mean?
Yeah. And it didn't work.
Yeah, and the only reason they won was because they were playing the Minnesota
Vikings. Kirk Cousins and the Vikes bailing out the Chargers. Those two teams, my God. Vikes cornerback Caleb Evans let an INT go right through his hands for a Josh Palmer touchdown. or else Minnesota would have gotten a big comeback win after all of that.
Yeah.
Cousins had a first and goal at the 6 with 37 seconds left. This is after Brandon Staley went forward at his own 19 and failed. So they get a first. So the Vikings get the ball back, get a first and goal at the 6 with 37 seconds to go and no timeouts. And instead of spiking the ball, he let it run all the way down. Just standing there, bitching and communicating back and forth with his sideline and trying to figure out what play to run instead of just running up there and spiking the ball. You're the quarterback. You're the leader of the team. Go take control of the situation and go up there and spike the ball. He did not do that. He panicked. He rushed whatever the play was, and they finally got in. There was almost no time left when they did snap it, and he threw an INT to lose the game. And the Vikings basically outchargered the Chargers in that respect. They could have won that game on several occasions that the Chargers gave them the opportunity to win. And the Vikings like, nah, we don't want it. Here, you take it. You take the dub. We don't want it. So both the Chargers and the Vikings, for me, the dumbest of the week. Not just the Chargers, but I'm sure you're going to get on your boy
Brandon
Staley.
It's this. I'm going to start calling these balls of Staley. Because I don't know what they're made out of, but they ain't. They might be steel, but that might be like rusty steel or something. First of all, you're up by 4 points with not a lot of time left on the clock, and you decide that you're going to go. I get it. Sometimes you go for these things and you make it, but it was dumb no matter what. You go for it at your own, fourth and one at your own 19-yard line to ice away the game when you could have just punted the Vikings deep. And played some defense, right, which you had to do anyways because you didn't make it instead of giving them the short field. And, we've seen Kirk Cousins have some brain farts at the end of halves and games now, real close to the goal line, right? We refer back to when he took that knee in that Monday night game. Remember, that was one of our worst plays of all time right before that half. Instead of spiking the ball, he took a knee and let the clock run out.
Well, so I guess this is better than that.
I guess.
No, not really.
But we've seen this with Kirk Cousins before and kind of brain farting down by the goal line at the, at moments where it's crunch time. But Brandon, you can't go for that. I'm sorry. We've been ragging on this guy for a few years now and this living dangerously mentality and going for it in stupid situations. And a lot of these cases, costing his team wins, taking points off the board, bypassing field goal. It's too much history with this guy. This one could be one of the worst because he didn't get punished for it. which means it's just going to keep happening. What's the narrative right now if they did that and then, you know, bam, next play Kirk Cousins throws a 19-yard touchdown?
Then he is one of, absolutely our dumbest, both of us.
Right. One of the worst L's that you can hang on yourself, one of the worst own goals that you can have, he is absolutely my stupidest of the week.
Don't. Yeah, that's what would happen if he did that. However, he was playing the Vikings, and if he punts it away, he's got to rely on his defense, and he knows what his defense is. So that's another reason why we definitely don't see completely eye to eye on Brandon Staley as a concept, because I generally like his going forward, his ballsy moves, not just for the sake of being ballsy, but because a lot of the times it's the smarter thing to do. The safer thing actually gives you a lesser chance to win by a lot of the metrics. So I'm okay with that, with a lot of the stuff he does. And I was okay with this, you know, going for, because get a damn yard. It's what, the yard or 2 yards? Get it.
Right.
Just get it.
Well, that was a horrible play. The
just slam it right up the middle.
The little handoff to the up back.
Right. Boof. Run right into nothing. And that's the end of that. Yeah. So definitely not a problem with the play call, but the execution, however, yeah, sure. Not very smart. So for my surprise of the week, what do I have? What happened? I had the cards and the points, sure, but I didn't have that.
Hey, what happened?
I didn't have them dog walking the Dallas Cowboys up and down the field down there in the desert. I did not have that at all. I'm not going to even try to front like I saw anything like that coming. 222 yards rushing by the Arizona Cardinals. And you think you're a Super Bowl contender? Really? Doing that? Letting the Cards run over you like that for 222? Picking off Dak in the end zone? This was like a whole collapsing all at once by the Dallas Cowboys. And we, you know, chuckle at it because we love chuckling at the Cowboys when they fail like that. But it's not like we saw it coming. Complete surprise. Arizona hits Coach Jonathan Gannon with the Gatorade shower. They put it together for his first W. They handled the Cowboys. It was the Card Super Bowl. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Teams that have no chance of making the postseason have a big game and get up for it like it's their Super Bowl. If you know, they're still professionals. If you, no matter how good you think you are, if you don't match their intensity, you're going to get owned. You're going to get embarrassed. And that's exactly what happened to the Cowboys in Arizona. Just one of those games, that light and fast Cowboys defense that I talked about. You know, you lose your gambling cornerback, Trayvon Diggs. Now you got light and fast, and if they don't get home, your gamblers are your best gambler is gone. Now your secondary is just out there. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what to do, the rest of those guys. And this is what happens when a team focuses on pushing around your light and fast defense, because they don't have to worry about your gambling cornerback anymore. And you give up 222 yards. They're undisciplined. They're giving up penalties. Just no-name dudes getting open on the car. Everything you could name goes wrong for the Cowboys in Arizona, and I did not see that coming.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, so I gave this already to my best of the week. This team just doesn't want to quit, even though it should.
The players did not get that memo.
And good for them. Good on them. Yeah, that rushing line, Baby Terminator, 7 yards per carry in the game.
He was owning them.
Yeah, they gave up a 45-yard run to Rondale Moore. just wild. Just wild.
What?
This is how bad teams have to approach it, right? You pull out all the stops. You go deep into the playbook. You catch a team who thinks that they should have just shown up and beat you, and that's what Dallas did. And just like the Giants did the week before, but they were able to recover. And this time, the Cowboys, they were not able to recover.
No, they weren't.
What the hell's going on out here?
That's pretty much how they had to feel in that one. So your biggest surprise.
Yeah. My biggest surprise, this is something I don't know if we have ever seen before or ever see again, and it's just a schedule quirk. But how many times, and I could go back and we could find this, have we had all four of the teams that have zero wins in the league all play each other the same week. So we only have four winless teams in the NFL right now, and all four of them are slated to play each other on Sunday. First of all, that's awful, you know, just that we have to sit through those games and pick those games for our viewing enjoyment. But that's a surprise to me, because I don't think I've ever seen that before, that we will now end up coming out of this weekend with most likely two 0-4 teams. Hopefully we don't get a tie. And then I think once we, you know, get that, boy, it's the race, the tank for Caleb can begin.
Choking for Caleb.
Yeah.
Sounds like a porno. I don't know if we would even remember if we had ever seen anything like that, because how would we keep up with that, or why would we keep up with that? So that's just one of those things that you notice it when it happens, and then we'll probably forget about it like 2 weeks later. So it may have happened before, but we wouldn't know, because how would we
just so weird that? Though that you have two, you know, first of all, you only have four. There's only four teams after 3 weeks who haven't won a game, and then you go to the very next week, they all play each other.
Yeah,
all four of them.
They all deserve to tie too. They both those games deserve to end in tie. You know, nobody
games,
deserves
both.
A win. None of those four teams.
Well, that means you're taking both of the. That means you're dogging it this week on those games then.
Whoever
the dogs are
in those games, yeah, just
you're calling
just take
ties right now.
None of them deserve to be favored by anything. Yes.
No, the losers in those games are the fans that go to them.
Correct. those are definitely the losers. My biggest letdown of week three. You talked about the Jaguars. They got outplayed and out-hustled by the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Illustrated by the kickoff return touchdown that made it 24-10. Because it was 255-pound up-back Andrew Beck, who tried to grab a short kickoff, bobbled it around, muffed it actually, picked it up, and outran everybody on the Jacksonville special teams for a touchdown. You cannot allow that to happen. That's a 255-pound fullback dude. And you let him pick it up and run back. The jogging that I saw on that kick return from some of those Jaguars players, I would have lit into them.
Wait a minute, okay.
In the locker room.
Better or worse than the dudes jogging after Matt Ryan last year on that 40-yard run that they let him in? Right, you remember that, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
It was the Raiders, I think.
Or the guys on the Broncos jogging after the receivers.
No, the dudes on the Broncos weren't even jogging after people. They were just falling over and watching players run by them.
You're just looking up and going, ooh, he's going fast. Wow.
Just let me go home.
You're like Jeff Saturday, just spectating. Wow,
yeah,
he's
no,
really
you,
fast.
You cannot let that happen. And
no.
that's an embarrassment for the Jags. And I can see that being a big letdown, because this is supposed to be, and it's early yet. Like, look at what happened last year. Jags were terrible last year, right? Were they 1-6, 1-7? So I get it, but you can't start this way every year in one of the most winnable divisions in football. And you put up that performance, and you let that guy up. Yeah, he's giving hope to us fat guys everywhere.
I'm sorry. There's no excuse for special teams laziness like that. I would have been peeling the walls in the locker room. I'd have kept ripping them on the plane. I'd have ripped them after they got off the plane. You can't do that. They didn't take them seriously. The Jaguars did not take the Houston Texans seriously. It's just that's the only way you can call that.
Yeah,
on offense,
I don't know why
on defense,
not.
Or on special teams.
Houston, to that point, had been – contending and fighting in games. Hello. Do you want to say something? Don't say anything you shouldn't be saying on the radio. Dad does that. you want to put this on? Oh, okay.
Like sweaty.
I'm a dinosaur rawr.
What? Oh, my God. Okay.
Past their bedtime, clearly.
Oh, he just cracked himself up. Good job, buddy. Go on upstairs. Good night. Love you.
Good night.
Okay.
He's still a dinosaur.
He's a dinosaur.
That age,
he snuck up on me. He got me good tonight. I didn't hear him because I got the headphones on. I didn't hear any. You know, these things cancel out lots of noise. I didn't hear anything. He got me good. All of a sudden, I get like touched, and I'm like, oh, "What the hell?"
Feels like you got a ghost in the house. Yeah,
the ghost.
did I do Ghost Boy? I don't remember if I did or not. And trying to see him my awards because he certainly deserved one.
I see dead people.
That's your dinosaur right there sneaking up on
you. Dinosaur rawr.
That's right. Your letdown of the week.
My letdown of the week. I'm glad you hit the Jags because I did them for being on the wrong side already in my best of the week. I'm giving this to the Jets because we were both firmly on the record on the Jets last week saying, if you're going to do anything this year, this is your spot, right? This is, speaking of I see dead people, oh my God, Zach Wilson. Taking sacks when nobody's even around, sacking himself. The Jets are down so low now, you got Mac Jones donkey punching the Sauce Gardner and getting away with it. I don't know if you heard about that or saw that.
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, Mac Jones is, you know, rocking him in the nuts, and the Jets laying another absolute egg. Only managed to put up 10 points, lose 15-10. And this is going to be – boy, it's fitting that Nathaniel Hackett's part of this coaching staff because we're going to see again, this offense is going to be so bad that defense, which is world-class, is eventually – also just going to quit. And I don't know what point it's going to happen, but the Jets were a big letdown. They needed this win. It was a winnable spot. I don't know how you can come out of this. And we have a Jets fan who regularly calls this show. It's got to be total despair right now for Lou as well.
I think he's in the bottle at this point.
And then you want to talk about another letdown. What's your savior? Who's your savior at quarterback going to be?
Oh, gosh.
Trevor Siemian. That's the best you can do. That's the best you can do?
Lord.
Trevor Siemian? Good night, folks.
Bad guy.
Boy.
Brock Osweiler wasn't available? What?
Man. Well, no, it's all the same guy. This is Random Allen territory now.
Trevor Siemian, I see as a guy like if you want to lose, like that's a notch below Random Allen. Like Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, like these
There's
are the guys you bring
below
in.
Below Random Allen,
yeah.
Nathan Peterman's already on a team.
Exactly. When you're actively trying to lose, yeah, they'd sign him. Except the Bears are in love with him, so they keep.
They probably
signing
tried to throw a sixth round draft pick at the Bears for him at this point.
And the Bears are like, no, we value him too much.
Nathan
Peterman.
Yeah, no, Tyson Bagent is the answer. Haven't you been following the Twitters?
That's the new one. That's the new love.
The third stringer who's on the practice squad. That's the one that all, I've even heard people on Sports Talk on the Score when I've listened in a couple of their segments who've called in. We got to get this Fields out of here. It's Tyson Bagent now. Let's see what this kid can do.
Always the third stringer.
Oh, yeah. Man. They don't like it. It's not the backup they love. It's the third stringer. Now it's the practice squad guy. He's the answer. It's the Jets. Jets are my letdown of the week.
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Yeah. The I had to go full Joe on that one to go into to the next award.
Struggling.
Ironically, your letdown leads right into my struggling, which has to be the Jets because Joe himself
he called him out
said on his Monday podcast, Joe Namath himself said, "I'm through with Zach Wilson. I've seen enough of Zach Wilson." When Joe himself says he's done with Joe, as you are done. You are Brady Quinn done.
You're dead to me.
Man, 157 passing yards, 4.4 yards per attempt. 4.4.
I might be able to do that.
You can do that rolling the ball. I know it's an incomplete pass, but that's still that's about what you do if you would roll the ball downfield. It's 4.4 yards per attempt.
Well,
wide
you
open
know what
targets
you,
ignore just like Justin Fields.
Yes, but when you're sacking yourself, though, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're seeing ghosts and you're sacking yourself. Yeah.
But you know what else goes hand in hand with a 4.4 yards per attempt? You know what the result of that is? You end up rushing the ball for 38 yards.
Mm. That's not going to cut
it. And your two starting running backs had 20 rushes. 20 rushes for 36 yards.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's less than 2 yards per attempt. That my major math skills tell me that's less than 2 yards. It's like 1.8 yards per attempt, and your quarterback's throwing for 4.4. I'm shocked they scored 10.
He can't play. He can't
He's terrible.
Play. He's so bad. He can't play. You can't have
why
him
they got
out there
Rodgers
on the team.
Is why
they
got
know
Aaron Rodgers.
He can't
How
play.
The hell did they just not throw in Zach Wilson in the trade?
Because the Packers are like, fuck
Packers
that.
Probably like, hell no. No.
No way in hell do we want that on our team. No. So the Patriots outlast the Jets. We saw the Jets getting that. We knew it would be low scoring in a struggle, struggling. But that's the epitome of struggling when Joe himself says, I've had enough of you. That is absolutely got to get the struggling award. Colin Kaepernick even wrote a letter to the Jets and said, hey, I'll play practice squad for you.
I'm going to get a little insensitive here with Colin Kaepernick, because Colin Kaepernick is the guy I'm pretty sure who likened the NFL to slavery, right? He's that guy, right?
Barely wants back on the field.
I was about to say, how many slaves snuck back onto the to the plantation, right? I don't remember how many slaves like went through the Underground Railroad, made it to Buffalo, New York, and they were like, I think I want to sneak back.
I want to get back in the field.
I miss the good old days, man. You know, so call it a little BS there on Colin Kaepernick, because you trash the league, you do all the stuff, you get the settlement. And then you're like sending letters to the Jets, like, what would the letter say? Pretty please with the cherry on top. Please, 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 please. Come on. So, yeah, you can't call the league that you had to sue because they blacklisted you, and then you'd beg to go back.
Yeah, all of it is pretty much PR at this point, because it's not going to happen. There's no way you're ever getting back in the league.
That's why I was thinking about that, though, with the whole his slavery. I don't think the slaves ever escaped the plantation and then tried to sneak back in.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to keep it out there that he would I kept trying. I want to officially let it
right.
be known that I kept trying right. to get back in the league.
He's like the person in the unemployment line who has to show that they're looking for a job.
Hey, man, I applied. I tried.
I sent a letter to the Jets. Can I get my $300, please?
Now can I get my benefit?
Hashtag storm's coming. God.
You know what? He'd still be better than Zach Wilson. He ain't played in 6 years. He'd still
you know
be better
what?
Than Zach Wilson.
You might be right.
He would be. I would. There's no doubt in my mind he'd be better than Zach Wilson, because he wouldn't
but
be seeing
answer.
Ghosts. He would just take off and run.
He sacked himself.
Good Lord. Yeah, struggling is the best I can say about Zach Wilson right now. So you're struggling.
Struggling.
I'm gonna need okay. First of all, you gotta give me a Broncos Country Let's Ride.
Oh, wait a minute. That's all the way up at the other
yeah, it's up
end
at the
of
top.
The aisle.
Broncos Country, Let's Ride.
And now I need the Benny Hill music. Because this will be I believe will be the first time we've used that this season. Oh yeah. If you want to watch a team that is hashtag full of quit, or that goes into full FedEx quit mode in the middle of a game, pull the tape of the Denver Broncos defense in the second half. I have never seen a team have so many touchdowns scored against them that wasn't trying to score touchdowns as the Miami Dolphins did. They're just doing basic running plays, going 60 yards to the house. They're just
He's trying to run out the clock.
They threw a quick pass to Robbie Chosen Anderson.
Chosen.
that...
Is that
again,
the thing this week?
Yeah. Just a short little pass over the... Goes to the house.
House call.
These guys are, like, looking around, like, anybody going to tackle me? And there's all these different screenshots and captures that you can see of all the Broncos players just laying on the field as the Dolphins players are all running past them. I have never seen anything like it.
Sunbathing.
That a team... Like, its will broke in the middle of a game. Like, it just died.
Yeah.
You know, it just gave up, rolled over, dead in the middle of a game. I've never seen it before. I don't know if the next time we'll ever see it, because it's hard to get 70 put up on you, and we've seen some big numbers get put up on teams. But I don't know how many of those teams I can ever – I don't think the Titans quit in that snow game against Tom Brady. They just got outplayed, right? Even though they lost, like, 59 to – 14 or whatever it was.
I don't think they scored either. I think that was a shutout.
Was
59 to nothing?
And they didn't quit. They still tried. The Broncos, this is like the most condemnable thing, is it wasn't enough that you gave up the 70. It was that you quit doing it. I mean, you just actively let the other team score, and it's just right there. Pull the tape. Anybody who wants to watch it, there are video breakdowns of this game that will probably exist for all time now by lots of different people, where you can actually watch a team just go to sleep and be like, you know, Brady BQD right in one game. Man, that is your worst of the week, but for me, nobody is struggling more than that Denver D, and wow, I don't know. Wow, that's all you can say.
Now I'm done.
Yeah.
I know one place that's going to be, there's going to be a digital copy available of all time at the gravesite of Nathaniel Hackett after he died. So he's going to be like, I never let that happen. Whatever I did in my tenure as a head coach, that shit didn't happen.
You know,
that's
it's funny,
Sean
Payton, though.
I didn't do that.
This is what I actually found funny, was when you actually look at it this week, because you have, I was going to save this for the pick, but it's just as, you know, usable now, as the Bears and the Broncos play this week, and they're both 0-3. And even though the Broncos just lost by 50, they still have a better plus minus than the Bears. That tells you how bad that game really is.
That makes me want to go crawl in the bottle with Lou. Ooh, that's terrible.
You're playing a team, you're a Bears fan, you're playing a team that just lost by 50, and it's week 3, and you're playing, like, you've only played 3 games, and one of those teams just lost by 50, and they've still got a better plus minus than you.
That's a good reason why the Broncos are favored, I guess, but we'll get to that when we get to that pick.
What's your Danielle of the week here?
Winning the game 72-71.
The fuck was that spectacle in Kansas City? What was all of that?
Was this my worst of the week?
I don't have to go on about it, because you covered it. What the fuck was all that?
Yeah.
We've never seen a celebrity date an athlete before or something? What the fuck? Everybody lost their fucking mind over this girl being in the booth with Travis Kelce's mom. Like, okay. Okay, maybe they are dating. Maybe, you know, she's... got the camera on her. She's given the let's fucking go. She's, as always, she knows exactly where the camera is at all times, because she's very, very media savvy, just like the guy that she's apparently with. The whole thing felt like a 3-hour-long Taylor Swift concert film.
Was it even this bad with Carrie Underwood? Was it even this bad?
I don't remember it being this bad with that. I don't even remember it being this bad when Madonna was fucking Dennis Rodman. Like, singers fuck athletes all the time. Good God.
Yeah.
How in the hell did this get, you know, seriously? I don't even know what else to say.
You're beside yourself.
I'm just watching, like, why are we making such a big deal out of all this? So fucking what? I don't even hate her like you do, but good God.
You will.
Like, what
you'll
the
learn
hell
to.
Was all that? I will never hate her like you hate her. You've hated her for a long, long time. That's a deep hatred there.
I can't
match that.
I hated Taylor Swift before it was cool.
That's about all I got
hipster,
to say.
Hipster J.
I heard that your mentor, Bill Walsh, was
Sorry.
Winning the game 72-71.
hit the wrong thing.
I don't know if you caught Saints defensive end Brian Breesy.
Near the end
of the Packers-Saints game, decided to rip the towel off of the long snapper on a extra point attempt and try to throw his towel at the ball to deflect it on the extra point try.
I missed all that.
This actually happened. You can go back and pull the tape. Packers had just scored. Finalized their comeback, made it 17-0, so they're going to line up to kick the extra point, Anders Carlson extra point, to make it 18-17. The Saints player, Brian Breesy, rips the towel off of the long snapper of the Packers and yeets the towel up at the ball, narrowly missing it, by the way, on the PAT try, which was good. What the heck? I mean, at that point, just rip the dude's helmet off and throw it at the ball or something. I'm pretty sure.
Or your own shoe or something, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Yeah.
Like, if that had hit the ball and deflected it away, there's got to – that's something, right? That's unsportsmanlike conduct. I don't believe that's legal, because if that was the case, we'd see the dude just rip throwing their shoes at the ball. You know,
yeah.
Come on, man. What are you doing? So if you missed that one –
That was absolutely wild.
Yeah, Brian Breesy, Saints, you thought you were going to sneak one past us here on the show, but you did not, sir.
Oh, no, we find it all.
We will always find you. Yeah, that's hilarious, because right after it happened, you're seeing all the stuff on Twitter, like, wait, what's that? And then, yeah, sure enough, you go back, you see the replay, and he reaches forward, he yanks that towel, and just yeet right up towards the ball, and it didn't miss by much.
Well, that's good that it didn't.
Good on
if
you
it
for
did,
trying, sir.
If it did hit it, we would have all seen it, because it would have been a penalty and they would have to do it over again or something.
Yeah, but he missed, but we didn't miss.
We
caught you.
We sure did. You know what? It's actually a great thing that he missed. If he hits it and it's a personal foul penalty, the Packers might just take the yard penalty and
Two. And punch that thing in for. But at that point, they were up. It was either 18 or 19 at that point, so one or two doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But
theoretically,
they were going to be up by one or by two either way,
right.
And it was only like two and a half minutes left to go in the game. But you're so desperate not to let the other team complete their comeback, you just start throwing just the ball. I like that. Let's just have this happen in the game, man. Let's put one dude in the end zone on all field goal and PAT tries and give him something to throw with the ball as it's coming in, like a slingshot or something, you know?
We're just creating
like
objects to pick the pluck out of the air and throw. And
yeah, you know. I like this. Let's just, you know, make it a little bit harder for the offense and special teams.
Like it's Pac-Man or something. Can he throw a toy cherry or a cartoon cherry at it? And then
Mario, you know, he picks up a mushroom and throws it at it or something.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
If he hits it, the ball doubles in size and now it can doink off the upright or something. We might be coming up with new games here. We got to brainstorm this a little more. We'll have to do that another time, because we're running down on time, so we got to get our plugs in real quick and get to the rest of week four. We'll do that in a couple minutes. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason's on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you can get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and go through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, in much less detail at gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. Some of our picks should have been strictly prohibited so far this year. We continued our struggling season on Thursday night because we picked the quarterback that clearly was less confident and less decisive and who wanted it less. Play callers were less ready. We took the Packers over the Lions, and clearly the Lions are the team that deserved to be picked on Thursday night. It came in and then just took it to the Packers again, as they did to end last season. So
yeah,
we both took the L on that.
I had the Lions to win, but I got cute.
Yeah.
We picked the scores, and I had all day I had that as 22-20. And wouldn't you know, it's a 2.5-point spread. So I'm like, well, okay. So, oh, well.
Got the 20, right?
How often does getting cute ever work?
Probably not nearly as often as we like to think
great.
It does.
It's, we only remember it when it works.
Right,
but it fails
right.
Way more than it works. So
probably.
It's not like bear whispering. That always works.
Oh, 100% of the time.
Almost. Not 100%, but almost 100%.
The remaining 15 games in week 4 in the NFL... we start off tomorrow morning overseas. The NFL returns to London and Wembley Stadium. The Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville London Jaguars. Falcons are 2-1. Jags are 1-2. And we talked about how struggling they are. For the Falcons, they might get Cordarrelle Patterson to make his season debut with that thigh injury. He hasn't played yet. For the Jags, their receiver, Zay Jones, will be out once again with a knee injury. In this one, the Falcons are the dogs over in London, plus a field goal at the Jaguars.
Yeah, so we get the cop-out line here. And looking at the stats so far on both of these teams, the only defensive thing that the Jaguars do pretty well is they're fairly stout against the run so far, exceptionally weak against the pass. That's not Atlanta's game, right? Atlanta wants to come out there, and they want to run the rock. Desmond Ridder is trash. I don't know how long it's going to take for this franchise or coach to figure it out. He's not very good. I'm going to take the Jags to get right. This should be the get-right spot now here for the Jags, but we'll see, because the Jags just want to keep laying eggs, and you're talking about weird things happen in London with two teams that weird things always happen to. So this is going to be a strange game just because anyways, but I'll take the Jags. It's probably pushy territory anyways, but I'll take the Jags and lay the 3.
I thought the Texans last week was the get-right game for the Jags.
That was the get. Now this is get-right game part two. See, now they're going to get right, and they're home away
okay.
from home.
So those who had a lot of confidence in the Jaguars last week and got burned, don't let that affect you. This is a different week. It's a week-to-week league. So this week is completely different. And this week, Pro Football Focus podcast gave me a little nugget to look at. Trevor Lawrence's quarterback grade jumps way up. As you already know, Jay, if you take out all the wide receiver drops and the 1 foot down and the other foot out and all that crap that he's had this year.
You're saying he's actually been quite good?
He's actually been pretty good. Jags have the most by far, the most drops in the league by a mile. He's still much better than Desmond Ridder, who is trash. If they're anywhere decent against the run, as they have been so far that you already pointed out statistically, the run is what the Falcons can do. It's the only thing they can do right now offensively.
Yep.
If they stay decent, they're going to romp. They're going to win this by 3 touchdowns if they're anywhere decent. So not only do I agree that you should go back to the Jags if you got burned with them last week, I'm locking they shit up. This is London. This is their second home anyway. This
is
not going to be a road game at all for them. This is very unusual for the Falcons. To have to make this England trip, this is old hat, man, for the Jaguars. They're used to this shit. So Oh, absolutely, this is probably
in the same hotel room. They know all the same people, right?
Same they know groupies. They've been banging the same British rats for all these years. Yeah.
They know all the places to go to.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
Even if they get lucky and win by like a touchdown, that'll cover three. So I will absolutely
I get it. And you know what, though? Last week, as bad as our weeks were, we both hit our locks.
We did. You made money if you just listen to our locks and don't listen to anything else.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was sweating that Seattle lock, but they pulled it out at the very end. So
they did.
Thank you, Gino.
And I didn't have to sweat the Eagles at all, and I should have threw everything I had on the Eagles, and that would have worked out wonderfully. All right, back stateside for the rest of the Sunday action. Dolphins-Bills, very, very compelling matchup.
This
Dolphins
is the best
coming
game
off of. It should be. Coming off of what they did last week, Miami has got to be flying high. Oh, and Jalen Waddle is going to be back tomorrow because that's what they've been missing. Oh, my
God. They don't have enough weapons.
They were struggling so hard without Jalen Waddle, and now he's going to be back out there. So that's really going to set things right for Miami. As for Buffalo, bad time to be missing veteran safeties, but Jordan Poyer has a knee injury, so he's out. So the Bills are going to have to pull out the big gun. That's right. They're going to have to activate DeMar Hamlin. They got to go with everything they got. They got to bring out the feel goods, the 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock stories on all the pregame shows.
Yes.
I'm sure they're going to be talking about it. They got everyone to be cheering. The place will be going great. They got to, this is the Miami Dolphins coming off of 70. They got to bring out every possible weapon they got. So they're going with the DeMar Hamlin story tomorrow. We'll see how that works out for them. I am shocked coming off of 70 that the Dolphins are underdogs, but the 3-0 Dolphins are plus 2.5 at the 2-1 Bills.
Yeah, I don't know. Does this feel like a trap? But we'll see. Well, first of all, it's Buffalo. They had that tough game against the Jets, a game they should have won. I think you're still salty about that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills should have won that first game, and they should have. The second game, they blew out Washington, but they didn't look particularly – oh, no, the second game, they blew out the Raiders, right?
They blew out the Raiders?
Was it week two? They blew somebody out, but they didn't look particularly good doing
10.
It. Yeah, 38-10, but it wasn't like a smooth 38-10. And then last week, it was smooth. They absolutely romped over Washington and the team Manderskins. So – all right, so I'm watching a team that's been firing on all cylinders, now against a team that's kind of ramped up through its preseason mode. So I feel like we're really getting both of these teams sort of at the best they can both be, firing on all cylinders. But, man, nobody's firing on more cylinders than the Miami Dolphins. I'm not picking against them in this spot after everything that they've done for these first 3 weeks. And, I mean, if Buffalo wants to go out there and concuss Tua's back, where you get some stuff going on, or, you know, obviously Buffalo is a huge step up in class. I'm not saying Miami wins this by much. I'm thinking it's a single score, really close game, but I'm going to take Miami in this one because I just think that everything is working for them right now. And I think Buffalo's just rounding into shape. I think Buffalo's going to be fine, but on this one, I'll give the edge to Miami.
So, yeah, it's got to be a trap, doesn't it?
It's a trap.
That team coming off of what they just did and they're underdogs? Like, really?
Yeah.
And I feel the exact same way you do. Lord help any team facing the Dolphins right now. And the Bills defense is playing high level, very high level. But Miami is on another level. There's something else right
now. No, they're on the moon right now, what they're doing.
It almost feels like it would be a win if the Bills don't get demolished. That's how well the Miami
like
Dolphins are playing right now.
They just lose by a field goal. Like, whew.
Exactly.
See you guys in Miami.
I got to go with the Dolphins as well, the way they're playing. And I'm going to need Buffalo to lose because I picked them to win the Super Bowl. And this would play into the narrative. Like, if they lose this game and they get knocked back down a peg, and, okay, now they need something to fight again. They need something to rally. Like, these two games they won convincingly, week two and week three, that's I promise you that's because of what happened in New York in week one on Monday night. I promise you. They do not look that good if they didn't get a game ripped from them or given away by Project against the Jets. So this is what the Bills need. They need some adversity, and they need something to sort of feed off of. Like, oh, we were so close and we were so good, but now we got knocked back down. We got to fight back up. They need something to fight. So I'm going to take the Dolphins and give the Bills something to fight for later.
Yeah, and clearly in the grand scheme of it, it'll matter for playoff seeding and all that stuff down the road. But I can tell you, even after 3 weeks, this is a two-horse race in the AFC East. So that's all you need to know. Jets are done. Patriots are no good. So even if the Bills lose, it's not all is lost.
Right. They just need to feel like that. Sometimes it feels like.
Yes.
Speaking of fight, Broncos, Bears. Ooh, a lot of fight with these two teams. Again, with this, I'm already going to call this spread a trap, too, because what? That
right,
being favored? What?
It's the opposite of the last game.
I can't walk out. They want you to
There's
put money
on. There's a lot
money,
of these lines this week.
But this specifically, I was shocked to see that team is the road favorite. That team, oh, my God. So however bad the Broncos defense is, they won't have Frank Clark this week with a hip injury, so that's even worse. But the Chicago Bears have several defensive backs already ruled out as well, so maybe they do deserve to be under – I don't know. Chicago's playing that terrible that they're the underdog at home. The 0-3 Broncos are -3.5 at the 0-3 Bears.
And I'm falling right into the trap with you. I don't know if I'm going with you, but I'm taking the Bears. They're at home in this spot. The other team quit. They did not fight back. They didn't even try. Like, you're getting your ass beat that bad by the Miami Dolphins? Somebody go punch somebody. Somebody start a fight. No, they just quit.
They didn't do anything dirty. They didn't do anything at all. They just laid there.
I think this is like a sneaky high-scoring game. I love the over on this game because both defenses are terrible. All up and down the field. Yeah, so I love the over on this spot, but, I mean, even if the Bears lose by a field goal, I get this one? Okay, yeah. I'll take the Bears.
I'm with you. I concur. That team's favorite. That
Man.
Team.
Not bad enough that we played the trap music twice, but we both went into the trap
and we fell
time.
Into the trap. Yeah. Yeah, we absolutely, and I know it's the two least prepared teams to start the season. It's the two biggest laughing stocks in the league. It's the two biggest jokes. Only one can prevail. Only one quarterback actually kind of looks like a pro this year so far, and that's Russ. So you would think the Broncos, but no, I'm taking the Bears just because they don't deserve to be underdogs in this dog shit outfit. Oh my God! All right, we're done with that game. Let's get off of that. Ravens Browns, much better matchup. The 2-1 Ravens and the 2-1 Browns, but there's some mystery because Deshaun Watson's got a shoulder injury and he might not be able to go. I guess that's going to be a game time decision tomorrow morning. And tight end David Njoku burnt himself, so he's a game time decision because he had some sort of fire incident in his home last night, apparently. Several starters again ruled out on defense for the Ravens, who are always beat up. Along with Odell Beckham, who's going to miss another game with an ankle injury. Ravens are the underdogs in this one, +2.5 at the Browns.
Yeah, that sounds like a weird line, too, until you actually look at the numbers. And I'll tell you one thing that is not in question or questionable for this game. That's the Browns' defense. Because, hang on, let me check my notes here. They've given up 32 points through three games.
That's not much.
That is absolutely... That's fire. That's great. I don't know how you call it anything better than that. They absolutely whooped. I mean whooped the Titans last week.
Oh, that was ugly.
27-3. And we talked about being so afraid for Ryan Tannehill and that shaky Tennessee line. Yeah, boy, howdy. the Browns defense is legit.
Boy, howdy.
That Browns defense is getting after everybody who they play, but I'm still taking the Ravens here. I still think that they're going to figure out a way. I think that their defense can kind of offset a little bit of the gains that the Cleveland offense is making because they've been winning their games with defense more than offense. And I'm going to go with the team that I trust more in this spot, and that's Baltimore, who needs a bounce back of their own after laying that egg and losing to the Colts.
Yeah.
A lot of people got knocked out of survivor pools on that one.
Still not as many as with the Cowboys, I promise you that. Whatever improvements the Ravens offense has made, and with the new offense with Todd Monken and all that, now they got Myles Garrett and the Cleveland defense to deal with. It feels like whichever D makes the last play will win this game. And
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if it's the Browns, but it also wouldn't surprise me if it's the Ravens, because that's kind of how they pull these games out. I'm going to concur and trust the Ravens because that's who should be trusted more so than the Browns. And also, it's really hard to trust the Browns when you don't know exactly who their quarterback. They've given a lot of reps this week to this Dorian Thompson Robinson. Is that his name?
He was like the big preseason star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gotten a lot of work. So I don't know if Watson's going to – yeah. I don't know if Watson's going to be able to make it to post or not. So I will take the Ravens along with you. Cincinnati and Tennessee, the aforementioned Titans, now get to host the Cincinnati Bengals and old Gimpy Joe Burrow. They're both 1-2 and desperate down in Nashville. Titans will not have their receiver Treylon Burks. He's got a knee injury. Cincy is now the favorite in this one. Now that Burrow has proven he can play and win a game, they are -2.5 at the Titans.
I'm taking the Bengals here, and I hate it because this, again, like a couple of weeks ago with Tennessee, and I think that was the Saints, just feels like one of those, hey, we're going to show up and play today. It's kind of Tennessee Titans games where they just show up and beat somebody they have no business beating, and then they go and they lose 27-3 to the Browns. That's your Tennessee Titans in a nutshell right there. So I'm taking the Bengals with zero confidence.
If your confidence pool, this would be the one-point game, apparently.
This would be zero.
You can't go zero. You got to have at least one.
I would figure out a way.
I am so underwhelmed by both of these offenses. I am so underwhelmed by both of these protection schemes. I am so underwhelmed by both of these run games. I don't like just about anything about either of these teams right now. But I have to pick one, right? I don't want to trust the Tanny Show. I don't want to trust Gimpy Joe. You know what? I'll trust Lou Amoruno again to trip up Tandy. I'll trust the D coordinator for Cincinnati. That's basically the only thing I'm going with here. So I'll agree with you and take Cincy. We don't love any of our picks so far this week, and we're agreeing on all of them.
I was about to say, we don't like these picks, and we've agreed on it. Five for five already?
Five for five. Let's see what happens with number six. Rams Colt.
Down the middle.
Daddy. God, well, I'm not going to find that because I forgot what I even put it under. So we'll just move on. Rams,
okay.
Colts. Rams at 1-2, and it was Bill. I put under Bill Alfonso, right?
Hey, it was right down the middle, Daddy.
Rams at 1-2, Colts at 2-1. I know that you love that drop. Quarterback situation for the Colts. A. Rich is back, apparently. Anthony Richardson cleared from his dumplings, so he's going to be back under center for the Colts. Rams are basically, it's a pick 'em. Rams are +1 at Indy.
I like what Anthony Richardson has brought to them so far, but he can't stop getting himself hurt. I'm actually right now, just with the receiving group of this Colts team, probably a little bit more afraid of them if I am the Rams, if that's Gardner Minshew back there, who's going to give them that sort of like little bit of veteran stability. So I'm actually going to take the Rams in this one more for the defensive side of the ball, because I think they'll be able to sort of fluster and confuse and make the rookie make some mistakes. Worst thing that could happen for the Rams is if they actually knock him out of the game, because then I think they're going to upgrade to Minshew, who will stand in there against the pressure and be able to find some holes in that Rams defense that is a little suspect, but I trust the front four. I'm going to take the Rams and the point.
You know, Matthew Stafford might have less protection than Anthony Richardson back there. So it's tough, but at the end, yeah, I'm going to go with Aaron Donald against Anthony Richardson, and it's probably not going to go well for him. So I concur again, right down the middle.
Oh, it was a fun show. We could have just mailed each other our picks.
like Netflix, which is send out its last mailing of its DVDs. So end of an era.
I used to do that. I remember when I met my wife. That's how we used to do our Netflix. Was we'd send in our. We were on the two movie plan, right? We'd get the two discs in the mail, and then we'd watch them, and we'd send them back, and get two more. And
I remember seeing Netflix disc in on the table the first time I ever visited my wife.
Yeah, there you go.
We are so old. Buccaneers and Saints in NFC South action. They're both 2-1, looking to go 3-1. A lot of defenders ruled out for Tampa Bay in this game. They're very beat up, but New Orleans quarterback is very beat up. Derek Carr has a shoulder injury. He's going to try to play through. And if he doesn't, it would be the return of Wild Thing to New Orleans, to the Saints offense to face his old team, Tampa Bay. So it might be a revenge game for old Jameis Winston. I don't know. So we shouldn't play Wild Thing officially because he's not officially.
Yeah, wait until he balls out, and then we can play it.
Okay. And Alvin Kamara's suspension is over for the Saints, so he will return to the field for them. Tampa is the underdog plus 3.5 at New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm taking the hook. Love the hook on this one. So that means I can take a field goal game here and come out on the right side. I'm going to take Tampa and the points. I think there's still some feistiness and fight. Nobody has any feistiness or fight against the Eagles right now, it seems, that the Eagles are just going to overwhelm you and just push you around, and that's exactly what they did to Tampa. New Orleans is nice. They have nice pieces. I definitely want front row tickets to the Marshawn Lattimore Mike Evans show.
Yes, get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, I want that. But I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take Tampa in the points here. I've been impressed by what they've done so far through the first three games, last week notwithstanding.
Yeah, one of these quarterbacks, Jameis or Baker, would be in a battle of disgrace, number one former draft picks if Jameis does play. And if Derek Carr plays, he was not number one, but he was a first round pick anyway. But if it's Jameis, and I guess I'd have to trust Baker more. It feels dirty to say that. We're still agreeing.
Seven for seven.
Yep. Right down the middle. All right. The Team Manderskins. The Eagles.
Yeah.
Washington is 2-1. The Eagles are 3-0 and looking great. In this one, Logan Thomas is going to be back at tight end for Washington after being dumplings. They're going to need him. They are 8.5-point dogs at the Eagles.
Going through the stats, find something out this week. Sam Howell is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league against pressure. Like, he is fine with a clean pocket. Problem is, he doesn't very often get one because Washington's giving up a lot of pressure. And when they do give up pressure, he is trash. I've got the Eagles. Lock it up.
Not a bad thing to do. I wish I could lock him up 2 weeks in a row, of course. But we decided we can't do that.
Correct.
Yeah, you know how I feel about the Philly, the way they're playing right now. There's no reason to go against them. Howell was sacked 9 times last week versus the Bills. Now here comes the Eagles.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier.
It's 8 for 8. This is about as long as we've gone green with every pick. So we'll see how long we keep that up.
I actually made these picks. Looking at them, like, I'm gonna be so. I got some different. I got a lot of dogs here. Then I got the big favorite. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, uh-huh. No, I guess not.
Uh-huh. No, but I was peeking in. You didn't know I was peeking in and seeing all your picks and copying off your outfit test.
You got that one. You got the one game lead now. So he's like, I just win. If I just agree with him the whole rest of the season,
if I just play it out the whole rest of the year and keep that lead over you, I can't lose. I never lose. When I agree with all your picks.
We're agreeing so much, you know we're going 4-whatever this week.
Absolutely. Here's the other 0-3 battle that you've been waiting for.
Vikings-Panthers. God.
And the road team is the big favorite here, too. Bryce Young is back under quarterback for Carolina with an ankle injury, which is maybe a big reason why Minnesota is the favorite.
he has not been very good. Remember all those good things I said about C.J. Stroud? Do not apply to Bryce Young.
The opposite to Bryce Young. Vikings are -4.5 at the Panthers.
It's a big number. Both of them. All right. I'm taking the Vikings, and I'm going to boil this down into the simplest possible terms. Of these four 0-3 teams, the Vikings are clearly the best one. They are the team.
Can't argue there.
Every one of their losses has been one score. They've been really close. What the Vikings are getting now are all the karma losses for all the BS wins they had last year.
Right.
They're just on the wrong side of these one score games. I think they've played tough opponents. They've finally got one I think they can handle here. I'm going to take the Vikings to take out a little frustration and whoop the crap out of the Carolina Panthers.
It would be so Vikings to lose this one too, wouldn't it? By one score.
But
I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to go with the Vikings as well.
Nine
for nine. Bryce Young returning will work wonders for the Vikings.
Okay.
Steelers and Texans. Let's see if we can go 10 for 10 here. Pittsburgh at 2-1. Houston at 1-2. Houston will not have their offensive tackle, Laremy Tunsil, with a knee injury, but C.J. Stroud doesn't care. He's just going to let it fling and fire anyway. Steelers are the road favorites here. Pittsburgh is laying 3 at Houston.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud's going to let it fly, but he's missing his best offensive lineman, and oh, hey, here comes T.J. Watt.
Mm.
And that Pittsburgh rush. I wanted Houston on this one, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to fall into this Houston hype. They just went on the road. Everything would tell you, oh, we went down to Jacksonville and we just whooped these guys. This is the kind of spot where a team coming back home after something like that gets a little taste of the humble pie. I'll take Mike Tomlin and the Steelers here and give the 3.
That's 10 for 10. Ring the bell, everybody. And I even had a PFF stat that kind of goes against us. It just talks about how
great
Stroud has been. He's the first quarterback ever in history with 900 yards and zero interceptions in his first three career games.
Right. I mean, he's been great. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, who has made me money, by the way, this year, Tank Dell. That running game is terrible, and he's just out there slaying it, and he's been the good so far. But I don't know. I'm going with the veteran experience here, and I still like this Pittsburgh offense better without Deontay Johnson.
it'll be fun to see him against T.J. Watt in the PID D. I'm going to go with the veteran as well.
Kind of a styles clash game here, too.
Yeah. 10 for 10. We got 5 left.
And we're going through these super quick because
we agree.
Yeah. Ditto. Yeah. What you said.
Yeah. There's no discussion.
Now,
don't forget,
we agreed Thursday night. So we're 11 for 11 right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Did not start out well. Hopefully we do better than we did on that pick.
Oh no. We're going to agree on every pick and go 0-16.
That's it for the early games. We agree on every last one. We are now into the late game action.
Well, there's no drama there.
Right. We can take naps in the Sunday afternoon. We can just go to sleep and wake up and get the late afternoon games. We have no conflict at all in the morning. Late afternoon action, Vegas and the Clippers. The Raiders and the Chargers are both 1-2. There's quarterback action and situations here as well, because Jimmy G was Jimmy GTD with dumplings, but they ruled him out a couple hours ago. So what I don't know is exactly who's starting. I don't think Boy Wonder has divulged that yet. So it's either going to be random Allen member Brian Hoyer or some random rookie named Aiden O'Connell. I don't know which one is going to start, and I don't know if it matters much. But the Chargers, of course, are extremely devastated injury-wise. They lose their star receiver, Mike Williams, with an ACL injury.
Yeah.
Third week in a row that a star player gets taken out for the season, so very sad to see that. And then on top of that, the running back, Austin Ekeler, the edge rusher, Joey Bosa, and safety, Derwin James, are all listed as doubtful for tomorrow. So that's a lot of really good players for the Chargers that are not going to be there. And with all that, they're still the favorite. Raiders are plus six at the Chargers.
Yeah, I don't know what the line difference is if Jimmy G is starting, but I know my pick is different if Jimmy G is starting. I'm probably heavy on the Raiders on this game with Jimmy G. It is going to be some random Allen or worse, it looks like right now. It might Brian Hoyer. He's a total random Allen. They've got the weapons, but I just don't think that they're going to have what they need to exploit against Justin Herbert, who has been locked in to start the season. I've got no problems with their offense. I hate their coaching, but I've got no problems with what Herbert's been able to do, what Keenan Allen has been doing, who is just getting the lion's share of targets, and he's a good guy to get those. The only way I think that the Raiders win this game is it's going to be Josh. This has got to be the Josh Jacobs show. And if that doesn't work, it's going to be Chargers with the splash win here. Big one. I'm taking the Chargers against the Jimmy G-less Raiders.
Well, I don't know when the Josh Jacobs show would happen, but tomorrow would be a really great time for it to happen. Not just because they need something to buttress and balance out the fact that they lost their starting quarterback, but because they're facing the Chargers, who historically are terrible at defending the run. So you got to take advantage of that matchup. I don't know if it's going to happen, though. They're dead last in running right now as a team, the Raiders are. Dead fucking last.
There's some teams that can't run for shit.
And they're worse than
all
of them.
And they're worse. Yeah. And with Josh Jacobs.
Right. They're worse than the Steelers. Come on.
With Najee Harris.
Jaylen Warren.
Yeah.
So this is how slim this is going to wind up being. This is one of those that when I picked the score, and it wound up being exactly what the spread is. Because I had the Clippers 26 to 20.
So you might as well just disagree for the sake of it.
I didn't know what your pick was, of course, when I made my picks. But I am going to disagree and take the points with the random Allen quarterback. So finally we disagree, and it's by the thinnest of margins, because if it was 6.5, I would be taking the Clippers along with you.
And if it was Jimmy G, I would have taken the Raiders. So if it was Jimmy G, this line might not be 6.
Right. It'd probably be like 4-3 or something. So whatever the reasons, there it is. We finally disagree on one. All right, from there, Patriots and Cowboys, New England at 1-2, Dallas now 2-1, coming off of that laughingstock embarrassment last week in Arizona. Cowboys' old line is beat up, so that might be an issue with this game tomorrow. Patriots are still a big underdog, plus 6.5 at Dallas.
Yeah, so what do we have here? We get the Zeke Elliott revenge spot. We get the Cowboys defense that gave up 200 rushing to the Cardinals, who now get to face Zeke and Ramondre Stevenson. I'm still taking the Cowboys. They're so much better team. They played so much better the first two games. This is such a tough spot for Mac Jones and this offense. And it sounds like he gets red ass like really easy. And he's punching dudes in the balls. I don't like what's going on in New England. I don't trust them at all. I mean, I don't trust the Cowboys much either. This is Mike McCarthy. Come on. But bounce back spot here for the Cowboys. In theory, I'll go with that theory and give the points.
You mentioned how fast we're going, but I looked up and oh my God, we were flying. Okay, we started late. Like we didn't start picking until maybe 10:15.
Yeah, we're going to actually commit on time for the first time ever.
Way on time. Like, we're going to have 5 minutes to just shoot the shit, which we never do.
This is what happens when you agree on every game.
On every single game. And this one is very funny as well. You listed all the reasons why to go with the Patriots, and then you took the Cowboys. I'm listing the exact same reasons, and I'm going to go with the Patriots and take the points. Because the blueprint is there now. Overrun that light Dallas front seven and work them and dare them to stop you. And Belichick's going to make Bill O'Brien call about 40 run plays. I promise
tomorrow. This is the same Patriots team that threw the ball 3 times against the Bills in the wind.
And won the
game. It'll work.
They're going to – yeah, Zeke's going to eat. I don't know how many yards he's going to get, but they're going to give him the chance to eat. They're going to run. They're going to control the clock, and they're going to cover the number, and they might win the game too. But, there's no way I'm taking a team plus a touchdown that can actually run the ball. And New England, for all their problems, at least they can run a little.
Are you telling me if it's first and goal inside the one for the Patriots, that that's not Zeke three times into that line?
Yep. Yep, it sure is. And he might get stoned all three times, which is why he's in New England. And not
he now. Might. Yeah, next thing you know, it's fourth and five. Fourth and goal from the five after the three runs. But, hey, you know what? At least they tried.
They will try. At least they will do that. I'll take the points. So all of a sudden, we're fighting each other. Two for two. Let's go. Heads up. See what happens on the third game. Arizona, the aforementioned Cardinals. Now they go to San Francisco. The 1-2 Cards visit the 3-0 49ers. Brandon Ayuk will be back for the Niners, coming off his shoulder injury, but Debo is all beat up. Debo Samuel had some rib issues in last week's game, so I think he's going to play. He's probably not going to be out there with the full amount of snaps, but be aware of that. He's a little beat up. With all that, it's still the biggest spread of the week. Cards are plus 14 at the Niners.
Yeah, the Niners have shown to be resilient against these sort of wide receiver injuries. It's like, okay, we don't have Ayuk. We're just going to feed Debo and Kittle. Oh, we don't have Debo, but we get, oh, now we're just going to feed Ayuk and Kittle. So I think they're fine in that respect. It's the Cardinals. How do we predict what the Cardinals are going to do? Because it's been a nice story. I think this is where nice stories go to die, because this isn't the, you know, fast and light, we can push them around, we can go embarrass the Mike McCarthy-coached Cowboys. No, this is the 49ers. They mean business. I think this is where they take old Yeller out back and shoot it. I'm going to take the Niners and give the points.
I mean, we kind of know what to expect out of the Cardinals. No matter how terrible they might play, they're going to fight. At least
they'll
try.
At least they'll try. At least they tried. They're the anti-Broncos.
I will concur, however, because for those who think Dallas and San Francisco are in the same stratosphere, watch this game tomorrow and finally,
this is how you handle right this. Yeah, this is how you
finally
kick the puppy
realized.
Right now.
Finally realize why the Cowboys are laughed at when people say that they're contenders for a championship. You are not on the same level as the 49ers. You're just not, because the Niners are not going to let this happen to them.
No.
Last week, that's not going to happen.
And no matter what you think, like, if the Cardinals had gone to Dallas and just gotten housed, then this line would be even bigger. Maybe I'm more apt to take Arizona, because we've seen that they've got that little bit of fight in them. But I think that going on the road, beating Dallas, they put some stuff on tape. I don't think San Francisco just shows up and expects to win and takes these guys lightly, because they're just playing a team that beat one of the other top, quote-unquote, top teams in the NFC. So I think they're a little bit more, you know, ears are more up, more alert for what's going to happen. So I think they go out there and they just handle business against Arizona. And this is going to get ugly.
Yeah, for all of the Niners coming up short in the last moments of big games when it really matters, I don't think they do it because they take teams lightly. I don't think that's a problem that they have. Like, we can see the teams that aren't really trying at times when they think they outclass somebody. The Cowboys, for instance, and the
right.
Chiefs we talked about, and the Bills we talked about, that they have motivation issues sometimes. I don't think the Niners have that. And they're not going to have it in this one, because, as you said, they just got finished watching the Cardinals run over the Cowboys.
Right, there's actual tape on the Cardinals now.
So we're going to concur and take San Fran by two touchdowns in that one. On Sunday Night Football, New York, I want to be a
second.
Part
well, another primetime game for the Jets. Oh God.
And we're back in New York the next night. It's all about New York, Sunday and Monday Night Football.
Oh, wonderful.
In New York. And of course, we know what's happening Sunday night, because it's the Kansas City Royals. So we know what the focus of that telecast is going to be now.
Oh, boy.
your favorite topic.
I'm so happy.
The 2-1 Chiefs visiting the 1-2 Jets, a game that NBC was thrilled about a month ago. Not so much now.
Well, now they're thrilled about it because
uh-huh.
Will Taylor Swift be there?
I can't believe that's going to pop a big rating. Like, but it is. Like, people are interested. I don't know
they're
why.
They're nuts.
But they are.
That's why. They're nuts.
I don't understand, but that's just me, I guess. Like, say Beyonce was single, right? And,
sure.
And she's decided to start dating Deebo Samuel and showed up at 49ers games. Will we see all of that? I don't think we would see all of that.
I mean,
really
there'd be hype.
But not that. That was craziness. That was insane. Like, they were replaying that in the booth, like, all week.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Monday,
I
Tuesday,
know.
Wednesday, even Thursday, they were still talking and playing it.
Intolerable.
If you had cable, you would have canceled it just based on all the coverage that was given.
I'd like to
anyway.
Cancel my subscription. Why? Taylor Swift is all over my TV.
Sir, can you just turn your TV up? No.
No, it's on
she
every channel.
Accidentally, she might
it's
accidentally
on BET.
Turn on.
I quit.
It's on literally every channel. It's on the African History Network.
Weather
I can't
Channel.
Take it anymore.
It's on the Weather Channel.
It's on HGTV, for God's sake.
it's on Investigation Discovery. Stop.
Anyway, the Swifties are -8.5 at the Jets.
I wanted so badly all week to convince myself that this Jets defense could hang. I mean, from what I've seen out of Zach Wilson, so yeah, maybe the defense hangs and then they still lose 10-0. The Chiefs, again, this isn't going to be that same atmosphere and that same energy that they rode off of in that first game, and Patrick Mahomes is not going to throw 4 picks, right? He's not throwing what you call the arm punts in this game.
Ugh.
I'm taking Kansas City squash.
Well, Swifties unite. You know, NBC needs a star now since A.A. Ron won't be there. So, yeah, has.
Oh, hey, I got that reference.
Okay, good. as far as the on game, on field, the question is, has the Kansas City offense really piped up for real, or was that just how bad the Chicago Bears are? There's kind of no way to tell. Until the actual game gets played. We know Zach will see more goals. That much we know. I'm going to concur and take the Chiefs and give the 8.5. I don't have any trust in Zach Wilson to keep it anywhere close. So, yeah, I'm with you. I respect the Jets' defense, but I just don't respect Zach Wilson at all, and I don't respect
right.
any option they have behind him.
This has got a 41.5-point total on it. I'm all over. Take the under on this game. This has got some really strong, 23-9 vibes to it. I don't think that the Chiefs get, to 30 or to some crazy number. I think that the Jets keep them lower, but they just have nothing to offer the other way. I think the only way the Jets cover this number is shenanigans, right? Special teams, block punt,
mm-hmm.
kickoff return. You're going to need something because Zach Wilson ain't giving it to you.
No, it certainly doesn't appear to be. We got so much time, I can even ask, what would you do in my fantasy league defensively? Because this is how much I'm looking at the Jets D. I got the Jets and I got the Buffalo Bills.
What's on the free agency?
That's what I'm asking. That's what Jet, do I do? Do I start the Jets? Do I start the Bills? Or do I start random free agent defense off the wire?
Boy. That's a tough one because, I mean, while yes, the Jets are capable of creating some havoc, those are two good defenses to have. This is a bad week to have them.
That's why it's a tough decision.
I mean, I'd almost rather have a bad defense in a good spot. You know, I'd almost rather have Tennessee, or something. Where maybe they can get after a mostly immobile Joe Burrow and create some commotion, or maybe I want, can Carolina get Kirk Cousins to go on the road and get a couple of picks? I don't know.
Ooh,
but
I don't know if I had a stomach to take a D against Justin Jefferson.
I know. I know what you're saying, but you're talking a pretty tough task between now. In reality, between those two, you're probably better off with the Jets because I think they can keep the total lower, and maybe Kadarius Toney, drops the ball right into their arms for a pick six or something. I don't know. You're hoping for something like that. I don't want to play. I don't think you're coming out. You know, I don't think you're probably getting more than 4 or 5 points from either one of those defenses. Either way,
that's about what they're projected for.
Okay, I hope you don't need those defenses. Let's just say that.
Right. That's what I'm leaning is just sticking with those two D's and using the Jets.
Hold your nose and say, you know. And
I can't use any defense against the Dolphins after what they just did. I can't do that.
Realistically, the one I would use is the Jets. Now that we've said that, Tua's going to throw 3 picks, and Bills are going to have a block punt for a touchdown. Yeah, you know how it goes.
Course.
I hate picking defenses, man.
I know.
Although on top of right, the one, Tennessee is the one I'd have my eye on, but I know you're not going to do it, but
no,
something for us to revisit.
Yeah, we'll both listen back to the show and then take notes and revisit this.
Well, we'll just
see
how that defense, I can, you know, because I can see it on like how the DraftKings scoring, which is very similar to all the other scoring, and see, because I mean, I can tell you when I'm building my lineups for tomorrow's slate, I'm probably not getting a whole lot of Tennessee defense. I'm also not getting a whole lot of Bills defense.
Right.
I mean, I like the Rams defense. Now, that's a nice play. Against the rookie.
Against A-Rich.
Right. But are they available?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Somebody owns the Rams. I can tell you that.
Do I have the stomach to take them against Anthony Richardson, who might run for 3 touchdowns on him before he hurts himself?
Yeah,
that's
but he might get sacked 6 times and throw 3 picks in the process.
All right, let's take advantage of our time and get this Monday night pick in. Back to New York on Monday night. The Giants will host the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle at 2-1, Giants at 1-2. Saquon was a game time decision all week with his ankle. Brian Daboll's just playing games. He's got a high ankle sprain. We're not going to see him for another week or two at least. So he's not going to be out there. Seattle is the favorite, -1.5 at the G-Men.
Yeah, I just don't trust the Giants. I kind of lost a little faith in them. I didn't have them in that, like you did, in that Thursday night game the prior week, but I don't really have a lot of faith in this Giants team to be able to go out there against a Seahawks team that's actually got a little bit of firepower. I mean, they're banged up on the defensive side. Jamal Adams, he never wants to play. He feels like he'll never be out there. I won't say wants to. You know what I mean? I'm not calling into question his want to play, but it just seems like he's never out there anymore, and they need him. But I just don't trust the Giants without Saquon Barkley, and they proved that to me the previous week, and I think they're going to prove it to us again on Monday night. What are they doing?
And Danny Dimes get a little bit of a break, I think. He's playing a team that can't get any pressure on him, so it might be a surprising shootout with Geno Smith. But in the end, no, I can't trust him over Geno Smith. He's not playing nearly on the same level as Geno, so I concur. I will take the Seattle Seahawks as well with you. So
we two?
Disagreed
Is
on
that what
two?
We just two?
That's it. Big two.
Has this ever happened before?
Probably, but not very often.
Two.
It's pretty rare.
Wow. I mean, so either with the best case scenario for you, you pull out to a massive 3-game lead on me if you win everything against me. And my best case scenario is I get back to that 1-game lead. And if we split them, it's right all again next week. Yeah, this is kumbaya to the max this week.
Let's just hope we both see things correctly and actually have a good week and we can both get ourselves
I would love it if we could pull both. Yeah, if we split those two and can both go like 13-3 for the week, then we could come back on the show and actually claim a little geniusness.
Yeah, let's not get greedy. I'll take 10-6 at this point.
That's fine too. But in the two that we disagree on, it's not like we were loud wrong on each other here. Like, oh no, you're wrong. No.
Oh, you gave the reasons to pick one side and then pick the other.
I did, which usually does not work out well.
Well,
and the other one was just a point switch, right? Yeah. With the Chargers and the Clippers were...
With the quarterback switch.
Yeah.
What our episode when we come back. And into our VIP after show program. Yeah, that was a thing. That was a hot hour of agreeing with everyone with each point that each one of us made, basically. So yeah, we're looking at a very very light disagreeing on that slate, and going into tomorrow, I didn't even have a whole lot of like I love this over, I love this under. I had a few, but not the ones like I felt so strongly like the last few
right.
weeks where I said this is the play of the week. You got to take this under or this over or whatever.
Yeah.
I had a few. Let me to be fair, let me go through and see what I actually like as my best over under plays. Bengals and Titans. I love that under. That shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, I could see that.
And Ravens Browns. I like that under as well. As far as overs, yeah, Miami Buffalo probably is going to be a shootout. And we both mentioned that we like Denver and Chicago as a sneaky shootout just because both of those defenses are so terrible.
So bad.
So that might be something to look at. I like Minnesota,
what do you,
Carolina.
What do you actually think about your Bears
shootout.
Being home dogs against the team that just gave up 70?
I played the Elvis music. That's what I think of that.
I mean, that's an indictment of the Bears, right? I mean, Vegas obviously thinks not, like you guys are trashed, even and you're still playing a team that just gave up 70.
But they're the team that doesn't look like they have a clue what they're doing.
Well, yeah, it's dysfunction junction. I mean, it's terrible.
Completely. So yeah, it's understandable. There's no reason to take Chicago. That's why we both took Chicago.
Oh no. Yeah, if we fell into both of those traps and get L's hung us on both of those, I mean,
we asked for it.
That's just perfect.
we asked for both of them. I'm typing them in right now. Elvis and Elvis 2.
How many weeks do we get two Elvis games in a row?
Right. But that's how crazy those spreads look. Both of them. I was like surprised and almost shocked. When I saw both of those spreads, like really, those
yeah,
are
too.
Favorite. Okay.
Yeah. So the team that gave up 70 is the favorite, and the team that scored 70
is the
dog.
Underdog. Huh?
Make it make sense.
And this season, no, nothing makes sense. That makes perfect sense in the context of this season because so far this season almost nothing makes sense.
Right. So there you go. So it makes perfect sense.
This season sounds like the reporter stroke right now so far.
Well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go hit Terrace Tazen those for the bet to have the pit.
That's exactly what this season sounds like so far right now.
So bad.
It is. That's what it feels like. This week, every week I look up and that's what I feel like doing every night when I go to bed every Sunday night so far this season. That's what it feels like.
I missed the live action last week because I was helping my mom move. So I didn't get to see any of the, I was watching all the score updates. I was watching all my money lineups, you know, didn't do so great. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't my best week. But yeah, just watching it all, just burned down and watching the Dolphins just keep scoring. I'm like, whoa, was that, it was 49? Okay, 56? 60? Oh, my God, 70 to 20. What is happening? What the hell's going on out here?
They're trying to impress the playoff committee, apparently. They think they're playing for Alabama. I don't know.
BCS.
Yeah.
Who's going to come in there? Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I can't say that I saw a lot of action either because I was stuck with, of course, the Titans game early action.
Yuck.
And that football was so nasty and disgusting that I went to bed. I actually slept through the afternoon because I couldn't watch anyway. Because as I told you, Comcast out here, maybe it's all over the country or whatever, but Comcast isn't doing Fox. They are
having
a dispute with Fox.
They're having a tiff.
So,
They're having a tip, huh?
So I would have been able to watch that Cowboys disaster if they had it here. But how much of that would I have stayed through? Because it was not very compelling. Like the Cowboys are getting ran over and the Cardinals are trying. Okay. You know, after 2 hours of that, I probably would have been done with that too. So, yeah, not a whole lot to watch. And then wake up for Sunday night football and watch the Steelers do damage out there in Vegas. That was fun, but you had the same pick too, so it wasn't that big a deal. But I think I did make some money off that, so at least it was that.
Yeah.
I should have bet the Eagles.
Yeah, and you were all over that one. I took the L on that one. That was the difference in our week.
Right. But
they manhandled Tampa.
They did.
That's the Eagles. That's how they play.
They'll do that. They like scoring 25. I don't know why, but they like getting 25.
That's like the 49ers have scored 30 every game.
Well, there you go.
So that's another one of those little weird schedule quirks that we've had so far. Is you look at this with San Francisco and you look at their schedule, and 30-7, 30-23, 30-12. So that means they'll win tomorrow. We'll say 30-13.
Sounds good to me.
Because we need that cover.
Yes, we do. Excuse me while I sneeze. Thank you.
Did you throw out your back or anything?
No, it was just I could feel it coming, and I'm glad I was able to mute beforehand.
It sounded like it was a big one.
Yeah, it was loud.
That one, you were on mute there for a while.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been a nice long day for me doing the Memphis Tigers
game. Me too.
It's
been a long week.
Yeah.
I'm still sore from helping my mom move. I'm old, man.
Hey, I'm sure you're still sore from helping me move, so you're familiar with that.
I might be. That was, what, 12 years ago?
Yeah. 2011, man.
Yeah, 12 years.
Time flies. The cute factors didn't even exist
yet. I'm a dinosaur rar.
No, he's a dinosaur. Wait a minute. Can't take that.
I'm gonna have to download the show and just cut that clip.
And embarrass him with it in about 5 or 10 years.
No, I'll put it on the soundboard so we can just play that.
At least I got one change coming. My Saturdays are going to be free now. They're switching the schedule at my job, so I'm Monday through Friday like normal people. So that's
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, there's mostly positives to that. There's some drawbacks. I was used to not having to work Wednesdays. That was that was the day that people always have to figure out how to get things done in their real life, like doctor's appointments, like getting their car looked at, stuff like that. I always had that Wednesday. I could always, I'll just do
right.
it on
well,
as much as Wednesday.
That's me with my Tuesday,
Right.
So sometimes it's actually nice to have it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one adjustment that I'm going to have to make, is I'm actually have to use sick time or vacation time or something to do those things that people have to do. But other than that, It will be a positive. Oh, and the other thing is now working Wednesday, being in a Wednesday night bowling league, that's going to be a little bit of a problem. I remember a couple of Wednesdays that I had to come in back when we actually had, work, that I actually had to come in on Wednesday and work, and then I went bowling that night. Usually it didn't go well. Usually working and then going bowling that night for some reason didn't work out for me. So now I got to figure out mentally how I'm going to do that and get over that. But That was a nice thing, is to have my Wednesday. I would finish up whatever reviewing of the football that I would have to do, and doing my awards and getting ready for the next podcast. And then there would be, an ability to sort of put that to bed and then turn the page and start looking at injury reports and getting ready for the upcoming week's picks. And then at some point I'd either like take a nap or like watch baseball or zone out or something like that. I'd be able to sort of decompress and then get ready to go bowling, and I'm not going to have that opportunity. So that's another adjustment I have to make. But it's really not that big of a, I think the problem is I take bowling much more seriously than I should. Like if I was actually really good at bowling, that would be something that I would worry about.
Right.
You know, if I average 200 or something, maybe I really needed to figure out, you know, how am I going to overcome and how am I going to hold up and still be good for my team? And I'm not that good. So it's not that big a deal, really. I'm so inconsistent. It drives me crazy still.
You got to be a boring bowler like me. Just make your spares. And that's all you got to do. Just make spares.
I try to, but...
Eights and spares, nines and spares, you know, you end up with that 175 average.
Yeah. But I
was the most boring bowler.
Like, this past Wednesday, I think the game two to game three, I think I went from 132 to 212. Like, how the fuck do I do that? Like, why? am I doing this?
Yeah, I'm just that guy on the team that's throwing, you know, 520 every series.
Yeah, consistency.
Yeah, just hanging in there, just making, you're never going to have that, you know, like crater game where you just blew like an 88 out of nowhere.
Right.
But I was never the guy out there throwing 260s. I'd break 200 every once in a while, but no, just, you know, spares. Very boring.
Hey, I would love to be that boring a lot of times. Just be
that's consistent. Right, just marks, just, you know, the marksman.
That's right. So this game was fun. It was stressful.
Were you getting into it? Well, you had money on it, too.
I had money on it, so.
And you're trying to work.
I'm definitely working, but it was a little better today because today I was assigned to be just the clock guy. They have to have one guy doing the plays and one guy doing the clock. They've decided it's too hard for somebody to try to do the clock and the plays at the same time. And they're right, because it is – I tried it on practice, and no.
What does the clock guy do?
Clock guy starts the clock when it starts running. He has to hit every time a play is in progress, he has to hit a button to indicate that the play is running. And then if the clock keeps winding, he'll hit the button again that just says run. So the clock is running. But you do have to do that for every play. You have to end it because it makes the play in the play-by-play. It creates that separation between plays. Otherwise, it would just be a running clock. So you have to actually do that and keep up with it. To indicate that there's a play, and then there's not a play, but the clock is running, and then the play just started again with this, you know, on this snap. So you do have to hit it for every snap. And you're also responsible for keeping up with the score, and you're also keeping up with the timeouts. But it's still less stressful than actually doing the play-by-play and keeping up with every, what yard line the play ended at, and who ran it, what's the number of the guy that just ran that play, stuff like that. So that's more work, but the clock person is just as important. So they do need two people to do both jobs. So today I was the clock. So that's less stressful, but it's still stressful sitting there watching a team that I picked straight up. I didn't even bother with the spread because Memphis is only favored by 3 over Boise State. So I just took them straight up, but put a pretty good amount of money on them and watched them go down 17-0. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding.
And it's hot, so you're already sweating.
It's hot. I got a nice overall tan on my arms. I looked like burnt toast when I came in the house. It's a little better right now. It was hot. It was stressful. It was at least the shuttle bus worked out. I was able to get there in time. I wasn't running late, so there was at least I did that right. But they go down 17-0. They're playing like ass. They're giving up big plays to this school that. I don't know if any of these guys on Boise State is playing in the NFL on the next level, but or maybe that receiver, whoever 80 was pretty good. But really, all they were doing was just like executing plays. They weren't like blowing anybody away and looking like a great team that should be ranked or something. They were just out-executing Memphis. And everything actually turned around on a blocked field goal touchdown. It's like,
oh,
this
wow.
This is so college football. This really is. Just they were going to lose that game if not for that blocked field goal that they were able to pick up and run in the other way. They went from, it was about to be down. I don't remember if they had scored already. That either made it 17-7 or 17-14. I don't remember which. But either way, Boise State was going in for three. They're about to go up either 20-0
right.
or 20-7. And a complete turnaround from that to seven the other way in a game that Memphis winds up winning by three. So that basically
wow.
was it. Even though it happened in the second quarter, that was the game.
Yeah.
It was the blocked field goal. So it was exciting. It was the home crowd went crazy. So it was a great, exciting win for them. But good Lord, it was stressful for somebody to have money on that game. Oh, I think the next game they're playing Tulane, who blew their doors off last year, I'm not betting that shit. I'm just going to watch and see if Memphis gets their revenge. I'm not putting money on that.
That's good. So the best question is, did you get paid? Is that clear?
Oh, yes. They came through. The money absolutely came through. It's a little more than I thought I was getting, so I don't know exactly what the – and they didn't itemize it this time. They actually – mentioned that they want to do that going forward next time, but they weren't able to this time. So I don't know how they came up with the money, but they came up with the money. So
the check
Guido came through. Check cleared. As long as the check cleared, we're all good. Absolutely.
Came right from the Cayman Islands.
Made it to my bank account. I have no idea where it came from, but all I know, the money came through. And I'm very, 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 very happy about that.
That's some good news.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, you didn't do that all for free.
Our three listeners were wondering, did the money come through?
Did you get paid? Yeah, I wonder, did he get paid? They better be paying this guy. They're going to be mad.
Running around, driving to Jonesboro three times in a row and all that.
You better pay the man.
They paid me. They took care of me. I think they may have paid me twice for the... The only reason they had more money in it.
Don't say anything.
Well, I didn't ask them. I was going to ask them, and even my wife was like, "Don't ask them. Just take the money. What the hell are you doing?"
Yes.
But I wanted to know. I was curious, but I didn't ask them. But I think they may have paid me twice for the Memphis versus Arkansas State game because, being the Memphis guys, I think we got paid for that, and I think they paid us for going to Arkansas State for doing it.
Perfect.
So, yeah. No argument from me. Not going to complain. Got my heat bonus and all of that. I'm sure I'm going to get the heat bonus for today, too, because it was hot. But, yeah, they're hooking us up so far. They're taking care of everything. So, good on them.
Well, that's good news. And,
right.
Yeah, we got normal show next week, right?
Oh, wait. Let's see. Hang on.
Next week is the 7th. That's next Saturday.
I know I don't have a football game next Saturday. I know I'm off work, but I don't have a game, so yeah, I can do any day next week. I know there's a concert that we're going to that I just bought tickets this morning. That's the 11th of November.
Okay.
So that's going to be the 4th, 11th, and 18th will not be Saturday nights. Whatever night we're going to do, there won't be Saturday nights because 4th and the 18th I'm doing.
So it'll either be Friday night or Sunday morning.
Yeah. And now that I think about it, actually, those are games, again, they don't have times yet on the calendar.
Oh,
so
sure.
they might be afternoon games again. So they might be Saturday night, actually. But Saturday, November 18th is definitely not going to be a night show because that's a concert that we're going to.
Okay. All right. So pretty well set there. I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to call.
Okay.
It.
All right.
I got to get up. I got to get up, walk around a little bit.
Yeah, understandable. I actually got up when we had our little 2-minute break and stretched my legs there. So.
Yeah. No, my ass is numb.
All right. With that, we will get out of here. So good luck on the two games that we're going to get tomorrow.
Oh, boy. Gonna get some big separation this week.
Yeah. And like I said, all we can do is hope that we were right on the on all those other games, and we don't look like complete boobs agreeing with all.
That's actually what's more on the line this week is our reputation than our head to head, right?
Pretty much, yeah. So we'll see how that all that works out. So yeah, unless you got nothing else, I guess we're done.
No, I'm good. That was a long two hours and 20 minutes. It's a long show.
Necessity to just agree with everything.
Yeah.
All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Thank you all for listening. And all those games that we agree on tomorrow hopefully turn out good for us, and we'll be back either way. Taylor Swift or not, we will be back next week to talk about football. Not Taylor Swift, but actual football next week. And we will talk to you then. Swifties, unite. And hopefully we won't get quite as much coverage of this as I fear we will. I think that's going to be just completely insufferable tomorrow, but we'll see how they handle it. We'll talk to you next week.